You are listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church Leinster. To find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
Before I start, I had a word, but I don't know who it's for, so I didn't pray for individuals. I've been stood at the back, and at one point I just couldn't stand, but I didn't feel it was right to sit, so I was just leaning against the doorpost. God, I'm scared already, you know, he's going to the but basically what I was feeling was that doorpost was like a big oak tree, and then I kind of thinking that was God, and I think there's somebody here that needs to really lean into that strong oak tree of God and just rest and just stop worrying for a while. God does have it in hand, and he knows us that well that he's got it in hand for us. So I don't know who that was for, if it's for anybody or anything. Right, I'll blow my nose and start again. Right. In some respects, this wasn't a challenge, but it was a challenge, because the whole thing at the moment is Jesus changing everything. And for me, that is so much one day. So when I started writing this, it's ended up as not, well, it depends what you call a preach. It's not really a preach in the fact it's not got 3 points or 5 points or whatever, but it's just my observations of how Jesus has changed my life and how he, if you let him, can change yours. Because there was a day, I've got headings to try and keep me on track, and then we'll see where God goes with it. There was a day when Jesus absolutely, absolutely changed my life. I think I have told a few of you the story, but on the 23rd of May 1993, and I will never ever forget that day, I stupidly in the week before challenged God. I was at my friend's house, and her daughter and my daughter had been talking, and I knew she went to this church in Hereford. I kind of knew where it was. And then my daughter came down and said, "Can I go to church on Sunday?" I was like, "What?" So stupidly, I went, "Yeah, God wakes me in time." Like, in them days, Sundays, if I was up before 10, I was lucky. The only religion I had was, we used to do the RAF race. I don't know how many of you are Herefordians and know about the RAF race that used to happen. That was the only time I ever got out of bed early on a Sunday, was to practice for the RAF race or to do the car boot sale we used to do to raise money for the RAF race. So off I go into Hereford, not knowing really what to expect and not really knowing whether I want to go or not, but off I went. And it was a baptism. That was the whole thing that I think the two girls had been talking about. Because of that, the room was busy. And while some of you have been to Hereford, it's a massive big room. In them days, it used to be partitioned off. So it would be about as big as this, and it was full of people. My friend had had a row with her husband, which wasn't unusual. And so she wasn't there. So I was just sat in this high room of strangers. And everybody, the music started, and everybody stood up. And I didn't know what to do. I sat there. I stayed where I was. And then this voice, this woman just said, "For God so loved the world, he only gave his son for you." And as she said, "You," I started to cry. And I cry all the time. And I really didn't know what had happened to me. And then things went on and whatever. And I won't go into the whole lot of what happened. But that was the moment that God spun me around. My life totally spun. I hadn't got a clue really what happened to me. Went out the back, spoke to some people, said the prayer of salvation, went back into the main hall, and they just started baptizing. And I just saw the first person baptized and just said, I don't care if you take me down the river or what you do, I am being baptized before. That is happening before I go home. And I was saved and baptized and went home that day. But the main thing was I was just so overwhelmed by God's love that he spun me around, overwhelmed my soul. And my soul just cried out for him. And I wept, and I was still weeping. But it was that realization that while I was a sinner, while I still almost hated God, but the things I did were not at all godly, he loved me. And he had plans for me, and he had plans to change my life. This great God who made the universe, who made the forests, who made the mountains and valleys, and the tiniest caterpillars, loved me enough to send his son to die for me. He even knew me before I was born. He knew me when I was in my mother's womb. And he loved me. And I've been reading, I was going to read a piece out of this book, but I don't think I can now at the minute. But I've been reading this book, and it's really impacted me as well, that this holy, holy, holy God Almighty, the I am, the creator of the world, loves me. But he doesn't just love me, he loves you. He loves everybody out there. He just wants us to be his children. And in some respect, at one point, that was as far as I got with this preach. And it was going to be a very short preach. But there's a lot more to it than that. I wish I didn't cry so much. Might be able to read what I'm trying to say. But that isn't just a once-in-a-lifetime thing. That wasn't just it. Yes, God spun me around that day, but he didn't leave me there. And I'm not the same person I was then. Slowly, slowly, he's changed everything in my life. He's changed my life in ways that I couldn't even imagine at the time. But I think if he'd have changed me in one go, I'd never have coped. So God is gracious and he changes me. But how he changes us and how he continues to change us is he wants us to walk with him. He wants us to continue to walk with him. I've put a scripture in here that sort of demonstrated it. It was Psalms 32, verse 8. It says, I will teach you the ways you should go. I will instruct you and I will advise you. But what I liked was the next verse, verse 9, it says, don't be stupid like a mule. Sometimes we know what God wants. We know what we should be doing, but we stick our feet in there. We put our heels in and we don't want to change because it's nice being where we are sometimes. Sometimes I believe I was just saying about the pools. It's nice to be in that pool. Why would we want to go into the next one? It might be colder, it might be hotter, but we need to move on. We've got to move on. It's not an easy road. But God doesn't want... It's not an easy road because I think we look at all the rules, but God doesn't want rules and religion. He wants us to be in a loving relationship. It's like a marriage relationship. He doesn't want to force his love on us. We shouldn't love him just because I think sometimes we get into the habit of praying for things, wanting things, almost seeing God as that, oh, well, if I pray for this, I can get that. And it shouldn't be that either. We should love God because he is the holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. How can we not love the giver of life who wants a relationship with us? But how do we do it? Well, I think the first thing is to try joyful obedience. Where'd that come from? We need to obey his word. It sounds really easy, but it's not. And I think that's back to, I couldn't believe all the things that have been said today and all the songs that have been sung or whatever. We need to be intentional. I've heard that already this morning. We need to be intentional about the way we are with God. We need to obey his words and get to know his words. And one of the things that struck me was come in here once a week or so, for an hour or so, just that's not a relationship with God. And I put a little note on here, just put lots of little notes and then go off on my own. Imagine if you were a single person and somebody wanted to start a relationship with you and they said, well, I can spare you a Sunday morning. And that's, we need to be beyond that. We need to be immersing ourselves in his love. And I think that it's so easy now nowadays. We're so lucky. We've got so many ways to immerse ourselves in his love. We've got books. We've not only with, like, okay, this is the obvious, the Bible, but sometimes that's not easy to get your head around. But we've got books. We've got the spoken word. We've got all sorts of things, daily devotionals, all sorts of things we can use to help us spend more than a few hours with Jesus. But why does he want this relationship? I went to them, well, why do we want, does he want this relationship with us? What's the purpose of all this change and love? I think it's to witness, not only to non-Christians, but to believers. We all need to hear how he has worked in other people's lives for when we get to the hard bits. And this is where I think our idea of a loving relationship from God's is slightly different. God's idea of a relationship is inclusive and not exclusive. When we're in a relationship with somebody, we want exclusivity of that person. We don't want them having anybody else. But God wants all of us. He wants inclusivity. But that's what makes us his body. That's what makes us his bride. We can't keep this love to ourselves. Somebody already said about it being tainted. If we keep this love to ourselves, somehow it gets tainted. I don't understand that. It's like that's for God to know. But if we don't pass our love on, I think it gets stale. I think it's like the manna from heaven back in Exodus, where if we hang on to this love, it's no good to us tomorrow. We need to pass this love on. We need to keep getting more love every day, and we need to keep passing it on. It's the circle of life almost that God has created, is that we need to get more love for ourselves and then pass it on. If we hang on to it, if we stay with what we know now, it won't work in the future. We need to be moving on all the time, and that's hard work. I've had this book for years and never read it. It was just on the shelf, but I've read this lately, and I've read one about a guy that was started as a charity. And while both books are completely different, this is almost like a long preach. You can read this out chapter at a time each week and have a good preach, I think. And the other one is more like a diary. They show practical ways for us to get to know God and what he wants, and for us to take his plans and his salvation to the world, despite our frailties and our flaws and our disobedience at times. One of the questions that Francis Chan asks in this book quite regularly is, what if today was your last moment on earth? And the one chapter is called, You Might Not Finish This Chapter. And that's a challenge. Or that's the challenge in a nutshell. Do we live our lives as if we know the holy, holy Lord God Almighty? Are we witnesses to Christ in our lives? I don't know, but I'm sure that with your... I don't know that I do, but I'm sure that with your encouragement and prayers, I can have a good go at that. So I'm hoping you'll all join me. For me, that's the Jesus changes everything. The reason I come to church, the reason I'm here, is to be part of this body. To be changed by Jesus through the words, the pictures, the prayers you bring. And it even struck me this morning from the songs we sing over each other. At one point, we were just singing. We weren't singing the words on the wall. We were just singing our own praises to God. It's all of you. If that person hadn't brought that scripture that day, would I have met Jesus? That's how important the words we fetch are. We might think it's a strange little word, a weird word. We may think it's a scripture that I've said out hundreds and hundreds of times before, but for one person in this room, that could be the day they meet Jesus. That could be the day that Jesus changes everything. After all, we are the temple of God. It's not this building, as beautiful as it is. It's not me. It's not you as individuals. It's us. We are the stones that are the temple of God. And the temple of God is the place that people meet God. Your encouragement through scriptures and through the word could be just the thing somebody needs. And I even think some days we could use WhatsApp as well. If we have a word and it's burning on our hearts, put it on the WhatsApp. You never know, there might be somebody else in the body that needs that word today. Also, I've learned so much about God's grace and love via my journey with you believers, and other believers. I think it's just such a privilege to be part of a small church. Here in a small family, we have space to explore our gifts and to work on the Jesus changes. We were saying earlier, Carol was saying earlier about me preaching. I would never do this in Hereford. I would never do this in front of 100 people. But because I know most of you, I trust that you're going to give me the grace that if I get it wrong, it's okay. If I don't quite get the right scriptures or get it quite in the right order, you'll give me the grace to cope with that so I can learn. And it's the same when we give words. It doesn't matter if we get it slightly wrong, because we're all here to support one another. We're all learning. None of us have got it right. I'm glad he's out of the room. Even Jason hasn't got it right. But through the grace of God, we will get there. Through being able to practice on you, I might get there. By being able to practice on each other, we can get there. And I think it's such a privilege to be in a small church. It's hard having to come every week, having to put out the chairs, having to do this, that, and the other. But it is such a privilege to be on this journey with you. Now I'm totally lost. Oh. I think all we need to do is, what I put on here is, but what we need to do is engage. We all have to come ready to share as well, ready to put that prayer in, that song in, that effort in, whatever it is that God's challenging you. And if it feels like a challenge, do it. This is one of the biggest challenges in my life, is to stand up here and try and tell you what I think God says. Because I'm not dead sure if this is what God wanted. If you saw the pieces of paper all over my bedroom yesterday, when I was trying to work out all these little things, because God always just gives me little snippets and they always seem silly, and then I'm trying to put them together into something that makes sense, or try and make sense to you. But that's it. That is what we're here for. This place is where we can do that. That is the privilege of being part of the church. That is the Jesus changing everything for all of us. And that was the end of my preach, except I came up with these couple of last thoughts, sat there yesterday. Personally, I believe we are called to participate as the body, all of us. And secondly, I heard this little saying the other day, a hungry man only has one thing on their mind, a fed man has time to worry about everything. Let's stay hungry for God so we concentrate on where to eat his word. Don't become people who think they're full and have time to worry or criticize. And then the one thing I always forget is to pray. So I've actually written it on here. I just want to thank God for the opportunity to share this with you and to continue to change my life, and that he continues to change my life. And also thank you for the opportunity to encourage others. And I encourage you to seek God for yourself and share what he has changed in your lives with others, because that's how we impact the world, is by letting other people hear how God has impacted us and changed our lives. Amen.